CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast for November 30th, 2008. Oh my, it is almost December, and the gaming season is officially, well, the game buying season is officially over. So that means it's the game playing season. Yay.
Finally.
So I'm joined tonight by Mike. Mike, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
I know you're lying through your teeth, but that's great. So, like I said, it's time to play games, and I know I've been busy playing games. My wife forgot what I look like, actually. So she was happy to see me for Thanksgiving. What have you been playing, Mike?
Oh, geez. I've been playing a lot of single-player stuff. I had some stuff go down this weekend that's kind of prevented me from wanting to be a very social gamer. So I've been playing Valkyria Chronicles on the PS3, which is an awesome strategy RPG. Been playing Chrono Trigger on the DS, which is my favorite game of all time, and I like having it on the DS because it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Surprisingly enough, I've been playing a lot of Wrath of the Lich King. I didn't think I'd get too into WoW again, and you know, I'm a former super mega hardcore player, and now I'm just playing casually, and I'm enjoying playing at that level. I don't feel like I'd be able to get back into it to the level I was before. And I think that's about it. A little bit of Left 4 Dead. But I just, like I said, I didn't feel like being terribly social, and I didn't want to, you know, take my frustrations out on anybody in a co-op setting, because I have been known to end my Left 4 Dead sessions by shotgunning people in the back of the head before dropping out of the game.
That's great. Yeah, I've been playing Left 4 Dead as well. In fact, last night, unfortunately, I jumped in the middle of an expert session for one of the levels, and we did complete it. And actually, I was the only one that actually finished it alive. And what kind of sucked for the people I joined with, I joined in and maybe played an hour and a half. They had played for 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
To beat the Blood Harvest one on expert. And they were trying desperately to get everybody to survive. And I didn't even, like, when I finished it, it was kind of on accident. I just kind of got, like, knocked into the van by the horde of zombies. And I was like, oh, guys, I'm so sorry. So, one, I didn't get the achievement because I didn't play through the whole thing. And two, none of them got it because they didn't survive. So they were pretty upset.
That game is very difficult on expert.
Yeah, it is.
And if you got a buddy who may not be the best shot in the world, you're probably not going to finish it.
Yeah. So I played a bunch of that. I've been playing the Versus of that too, which is really fun. It's, you know, it's actually a very, it's kind of co-op too, in the sense that, you know, it's you as well as the AI against the humans, and you switch off every round. So yeah, I've also been playing Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, which it's not the greatest of games, but I don't know. I've been kind of addicted to it. I'm almost ashamed to say I've kind of like the story. they came up with some crazy kooky story of how the DC Universe and Mortal Kombat Universe merged, and or is merging.
Oh, please spoil that for me.
Basically what happens is, so Raiden is taking out Shao Kahn, and Shao Kahn tries to escape through a portal, and Raiden zaps him with some lightning, and it causes like some kind of little thing going on. And Superman, on the flip side, is taking out Darkseid, and Darkseid tries to escape through a portal, and he zaps him with his heat vision, and that kind of causes a little thing to go on. And so Darkseid and Shao Kahn merge and become like one being through this portal thing, and that causes the two worlds to merge, or start merging.
And I'm just imagining the episode of Futurama where Fry puts the metal in the microwave. And, you know, the world turns blue, and then the red rays from the supernova that are going merge with the blue, and then they end up traveling through time.
So, yeah, it's hokey, but I really like how they do the story mode in it, because you don't, like, pick a character and you play that character's story. What it does is it breaks it up into, I think, like 9 chapters, and each chapter you play as a different character, and you fight like one or two battles, and there's like a kind of a cutscene with some stuff going on explaining it. And it's just, I don't know, it's pretty well done, and there's two, you choose both the Mortal Kombat story and the DC story, and you see it from both perspectives, and it kind of overlaps and intertwines and stuff, and it, I don't know, it's different for a fighting game. I guess because it's not based on an arcade version, it's a little more consoleized and a little, like I said, it's not the greatest of ones, but it's held my interest for the few hours I've put in.
So. I have seen some videos of the and I'm putting up air quotes here, fatalities in this one.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just seems like you punch them a little harder for the fatality than you would normally.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are kind of hokey. Some of them are pretty funny. I got to say, the game is definitely like light on itself. Like Liu Kang, one of his fatalities is he drops Mortal Kombat 1 machine on somebody and smashes them.
Well, he's had that one since Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
So, but, like, the Joker character in it, seriously, like, is so awesome. They made him so silly, and, like, his lines of dialogue are so cheesy, and his moves and actions in the game itself are just awesome. Like, they really nailed it. As one of like the coolest fighter guys out there, so one of the lines, not to spoil too much here, but so Shao Kahn, right? Obviously, they're talking about it, and somebody says it's Dark Kahn, and the camera kind of looks at Joker, and Joker goes Kahn.
Oh Jesus!
You're right, and so everybody turns and looks at him, and he's like, "What?" And it's just so, you know, it doesn't take itself seriously. It's real hokey, but. I've gotten a few chuckles and stuff out of it.
That sounds kind of fun.
But yeah, enough of that. Other than that, I've really been blasting through a lot of games. I tried to get through Call of Duty World at War. I got stuck at a few frustrating parts with stupid infinite spawning enemies and grenade spams. I played through the Quantum of Solace game, the James Bond game, which I really enjoyed, but it's very short. And unless you're going to play multiplayer, you know, it's kind of not worth the money, I would say. What else have I played? I feel like I've been playing games nonstop. Not that it's a bad thing, but
right.
it's been a sensory overload. Oh, and Gears of War 2, I've been going back to and playing a bit of that. Need for Speed, Undercover. Played a bit of that.
Good lord, man!
Like I said, it's just been like, you know, I finished up Mirror's Edge. It's just,
oh, that's right. I played through that too.
Yeah, so. So a lot of those games, actually, one of the new features we're going to be putting out on Co-Optimus is kind of like a little monthly high-level reviews of some of the better single-player games out there that you may or may not have missed. And that'll be going live tomorrow. I think we got 6 reviews in it. Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, Mortal Kombat, DC, what else? Far Cry 2, Pure, the ATV racing game, a couple others.
Good.
But yeah, it's been a very gaming filled couple of weeks, which was good though.
Always.
So we wanted to talk a bit about Left 4 Dead, which we've been talking about forever now, but now we can really talk about it. Yeah, we've both had lots of time in with the game. It's been out about 2 weeks now. You've been playing primarily the PC version. I've been primarily playing the Xbox 360 version.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played both. I think they're pretty close in execution.
In execution, yes. I would probably say that the PC version is harder, and that obviously with a high end system, you can crank all kinds of graphics settings way the hell up. So, you know, while it still looks like a Source Engine game, there's some ridiculously sharp texture work going on. So.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a difference in the textures I noticed.
And the lighting effects on the PC are a lot better, and you know, it's the same thing with every PC game that is also ported to the console. The PC is just going to be infinitely tweakable, and people have already figured out how to make it go split screen.
Yeah.
On a PC.
Yeah. Yeah, well we had posted that article about that they had originally included it as kind of like a debug kind of a feature, and then they disabled it, and it's always been there, just not a promoted right. kind of a thing. So, that's cool. Yeah, I don't know if there's ever been really a PC split-screen game.
There have been, but they usually harken back to the days when you would play like two players on one keyboard, and yeah. That was never really that desirable a function. People usually ended up with a null modem cable or something like that. So I don't know. It's cool, and I guess what it does is one player uses the mouse and keyboard, and if you have the 360 controller for PC, it defaults that to player two. So, but yeah, you know, and I feel confident recommending either version to any players. But you know, obviously on the PC, Valve is going to be giving you all your updates for free, and Microsoft will find a way to charge you for it.
Yeah, that's how it'll be. And like, we've already started to see there's a mall mod coming out, or map, which we had actually mentioned on the last episode, who's saying, you know what, that's going to be something people want to play, so someone will make it well.
Yep, and it's the first mod to come out.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So that'll be cool. I don't know. I mean, what do you think overall? You think it met our expectations?
I would say it actually exceeded my expectations, because I felt like the demo and what I had played before the demo came out it seemed rather easy. But going through on advanced mode or expert mode, they really said, all right, we're going to crank the difficulty up to 11. You know, playing on advanced as a step up from normal is like jumping from easy to expert in a Guitar Hero.
Yeah,
because you know, whereas in normal you get pounced on by a smoker or something, and it maybe knocks 10 health off of you, or if they're fast enough, none. And on expert and advanced, if you get knocked over by a hunter, you lose like 60% of your health.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing I think isn't so much as the enemies as the friendly fire.
Oh, the friendly, getting shot once will knock you down. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally over half your health if you get shot once by friendly fire and expert. So, I mean, that's killer. Like I said, we were playing last night, and a couple times, you know, in the heat of the moment, I saw something out of the corner of my eye, turned and fired, and killed my teammate. It's
like, yeah, you sorry. And me both. That happens a lot, and I would actually almost considered a problem with that mode is, you know, maybe make it so the zombies are harder, but, you know, keep the friendly fire a little bit down, or maybe make friendly fire an adjustable option in the game lobby, because it's kind of disheartening to roll through, like, you got like three guys from your normal Left 4 Dead crew rolling through the level, and you know what you're doing, you guys are all on spot, and you got one guy who doesn't play with you very often and doesn't know how you guys are going to attack anything. And he ends up, you know, shotgunning you in the back of the head because he doesn't realize that you guys are going to make certain types of moves or whatnot. And actually, I had heard of some people that were having such trouble with expert mode that they would actually take their best player and the other three people would idle out while the one guy who is the crack shot played through, because the AI will never friendly fire you.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of a way to cheat through the mode.
I tell you what, the AI in that game is phenomenal. There was one part where we were in the hospital level, and it was just me and one other person, and we were in the stairwell, and the person ahead of me triggered a horde. And as soon as, like, that sound cue went off, the AI, Zoe, went and closed all the doors at the bottom of the staircase.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, that right there was just, I mean, that's outstanding. That's some really good AI.
The AI is impressive. You know, it still shows its holes every now and then, where sometimes you'll be prepping for a horde to show up, and you're one of the AI guys just goes off and runs off into the distance, and riding, you know, then he comes. They'll come back when the firefight starts, but you're kind of like, "Hey, dude, over here, come on,
yeah,
hi."
It's kind of weird that there's no, you know, controls on the AI. You can't even just do, you know, regroup or go here kind of a thing.
Well, there is the quick command menu that on the, I don't know if it's on the Xbox version, but on the PC one, there's a button that you can tab and it will give, you know, you can call out certain things or say yes or no. And maybe screwing around with that will, you know, help the AI say, oh, I need to be over here. But, you know, problems with it are few and far between, but I have seen them do, you know, things where they go just go run into a wall for a second, or you know, decide that they're not going to shoot anything, and maybe they decided that they're going to role play as a less skilled player. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past the developers of this game, because I'll tell you what, the AI director is a son of a bitch.
Yeah, it knows when to screw you.
It knows, not only knows when to screw you, but it will screw you. Because, oh man, it's times like people are saying, oh, I've got to go, you know, run to the bathroom real quick. How do I idle? And people are trying to, you know, explain how to do the idle mode or something. And all of a sudden the music pipes up and a horde of zombies and a tank is coming at you, and you got your guy in the sub menu of the game trying to figure out how to do something, and everybody's all shouting at him over the voice chat, like, hey dude, you gotta get back. He's like, I can't find the option, what the hell. So it's, you know, it's led to some unintentionally hilarious moments where, you know, they'd basically be screwing us by holding us back so we'd shotgun them and keep moving.
There is a little, I don't know if it's a glitch, but it's something I hope that they actually fix in with the idling thing.
Mm-hmm.
This happened last night to that group that I played with before I actually hopped in. If all four players go idle, it'll quit the mission.
Well, that, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but I guess they were actually waiting in the safe house. They were like, okay, we've been playing for 3 hours straight or whatever they were playing at that point.
Oh, weird.
Let's go take a little break. So they all went, took a break, they came back, and it had left. And they were like, what the heck? They were so pissed because they had gone through like 3 levels of it on expert already.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've really been enjoying the hell out of the game. And, you know, don't take my tone of voice right now as disappointment.
what's your favorite map?
My favorite map? I would probably say Blood Harvest. Just because the cornfield is just intense. If you get a horde, thrown on you, or a boss mob, because unlike every other area of the game, if you go out of sight of the other players, it doesn't silhouette you. So if you aren't paying attention, the AI can just separate you and annihilate you so quickly. And I find that pretty intense. And I like the house at the end of it. I think that's pretty fun. And it's kind of like the zombie house in World at War, because you know, all the windows are boarded up, and there's an upstairs that if you open the door to and expose the hallway, you know, it's easier for zombies to get through. It's kind of funny how similar that ended up being to me.
Yeah.
But I like that. I think the best part of the game for me is when you come out of the jetway. In was it Dead Air?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's a randomized thing, because it's happened to me every time, but the plane that crashes.
Yeah.
In at the you walk out and everyone's like, oh wow, there's a plane. Let's go to it. And it just crashes right in front of you, and everyone's going, oh no. That cracked me up. And I still maintain that the ending sequence of No Mercy is just the most intense thing I've ever played, because that just swarms you.
It's definitely the toughest one of all four of the maps. No Mercy's a standoff there at the end. Definitely
cover where every other one has, you know, things you can hide behind, and maybe hang up the zombies on a windowsill or something where you take like a second to get back. And the end of No Mercy just has so many places where you can be, the zombies can crawl up from all four sides and get you. If you rely too much on the minigun, your minigunner will get swarmed. Yeah. And it's just rough. It's intense as hell. And the first time I went through that, we were playing with our friend Coop. And the three of us were fighting and fighting, and I got knocked down, and I was kind of looking around saying, guys, just run, because the helicopter was landing. I was like, just run for the helicopter, because they're like two tanks and a smoker and a hunter out there, and you guys just need to keep going. And the other two guys that were with me, you know, didn't pay attention to me and kept trying to fight. And Coop basically said, screw you guys, I'm out of here. And jumped in the helicopter as they both died. It was pretty funny. And I was laughing about that for a good long while.
Yeah. Definitely that ending of No Mercy is probably one of my favorite parts in the game. Mm-hmm. I really like, overall though, I think the Dead Air level is kind of my favorite, because it has a good mix of different environments and stuff. Some big open areas, like when you're inside the terminal.
Yeah.
With some upstairs and downstairs stuff. And
the rooftop chase is pretty cool, too.
Right, yeah. You're going across some rooftops and stuff, and you're in some alleyways, and it has a lot of everything. So I think that level kind of has most balanced and the most fun overall. But the ending sequence, too, of Blood Harvest, we actually, the couple times that I've done it, we don't even stay in the house. We go to the barn.
Yeah.
Usually hold that, and that's always a lot of fun, because you can basically, the only way up is, you know, the zombies have to climb, and you can basically just keep beating them down and not letting them get up, and then eventually the tank comes and puts an end to that, but
right.
That's a lot of fun. There's another section, too, in Blood Harvest, where it's right when you get to the cornfields and you drop down, and if you keep going forward, you trigger like some crows, and that triggers a horde. But what we would do is we would have one person go up and trigger it and then run back. And the horde would usually come from behind us over this like ledge. Mm-hmm. And so someone would throw like a Molotov up there, and we'd literally put our backs to the ledge. And as the zombies would fall over the ledge, it was like raining flaming zombies on us. And it's just funny. And so it's just, you just hold down the fire button and just pray, basically.
Yeah, there's some great, you know, to use a buzzword, emergent gameplay within this one. It's, you know, whether it's laying traps. You know, if you're a sadistic co-op player, you can be the guy that springs the witch on everybody before everyone realizes there's a witch around.
Yeah, you always have the guy that's like, dude, I just want to get the one headshot achievement. I'll get it. Don't worry. Let me shoot her. Yeah. He's like, you can't kill her in one shot. You gotta take her down a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing that people aren't realizing is you gotta shoot her a few times before you can get the headshot kill.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people I played with that were trying to get that achievement, but every time, you know, they failed. So I'd throw a Molotov on it and get my own achievement.
So yeah, Left 4 Dead, two thumbs up for me. I know I'm going to be enjoying it for a while.
Definitely. And I, as an owner of the PC version, I cannot wait until someone decides to mod the gravity gun from Half-Life into it.
Oh, jeez.
Because you know it will happen, because it can. Yeah. And someone will put the portal gun in it. And just imagine the possibilities of saying, you got, okay, wait here, man this minigun. And then finding a witch and dropping a witch on top of a person on the minigun. just the amount of absolute bastardry that can come from mods to that game, just it tickles
or
me.
Just infinite portal, a horde through itself, just keeps looping through it.
Talk about raining flaming zombies.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. The other topic we wanted to talk about tonight has to do with features of co-op games. And what we wanted to specifically talk about was something that came up in our forums. We had some users complaining about Call of Duty World at War's split-screen implementation of co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of a save option.
Yeah.
So, obviously, people are pissed off. And there's really no way for the developer to advertise what the actual feature set is of the co-op, which is why we made the site, right?
Kidding.
It's been a problem with game, you know, co-op games since the beginning. You want to know exactly what's in it. But the problem that we have is before a game's released is actually getting out the details of, you know, what it entails. So, you know, we get press release materials and everything else, and we send questions to PR people. But these little intricate details of how the co-op works and stuff usually slips through, and it isn't, unfortunately, until someone gets burned by it that, you know, we know what the game actually offers.
Right.
So, you know, it's really disappointing that something as basic as saving the progress in split screen isn't there. Well, especially since, so basically, let's first, there's basically three ways the co-op works in Call of Duty World War. There's the offline split screen, which you play through from beginning to end with no ability to save it. Okay, so who's going to do that? I don't know. There's the online co-op, which takes out a couple missions and makes all the missions available from the get-go and are choosable.
But then you lose the story continuity.
And then you lose the story continuity. So it's like they missed on both ends of it.
I just don't see why people can't say... Why game developers just don't say, look, what's the most popular co-op game out there? I think most people would agree that it's Gears of War.
Right.
Why can't people get through their thick skulls that the reason Gears of War's co-op is so damn popular is because they got it right?
Yep.
When you don't have drop-in, drop-out co-op, yeah, I understand that some games, you know, something like a Rainbow Six, you know, that may not be the best drop-in, drop-out type game, but for most games, being able to have someone come in and take over a squad mate or whatever is just, it's so nice. You don't have to worry about saying, I have to wait for my friend to play co-op, or when your friend leaves, oh, I gotta restart my game because my friend left. It's just little conveniences like that that really enhance the co-op experience, and the number of developers that don't get that is kind of staggering.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, I think that these games have been around long enough now that, you know, the co-op in Gears of War 1 is 3 years old now, right? So,
oh hell, you want to go back? What does Contra do when you play in the arcade game? It flashes player 2, insert token to play. You know, this isn't a new concept. You know, it's, you're able to have people join a game in progress and still have fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basic things. You want a seamless experience, whether it's with drop in and drop out, or, you know, the ability to save and pause your game in the middle and come back later. Not everybody has the luxury to sit down and play for 5 hours straight. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's frustrating. And, you know, on the forum post, actually, so a couple of the users kind of even called us out on it. They're like, why don't you have this information? It's like, well, you know, we did mention it on the podcast and in the review of the game, but before it came out and before we actually tried it and got to that point, we didn't know. You know, we asked the developers what your co-op experience entails, and they give us the basics, split screen play and, you know, 4-player online co-op. To us, that sounds, you know, okay, that sounds good, but they missed part of it. We've had this conversation before where, like, they almost get it, but they always miss one piece of it. They always fall just short. It's like, you know, is it really that hard to take that extra week or two or whatever to get that in there?
I don't get it. I was actually pleased back when I went to the Lord of the Rings event, and, you know, for a game that, you know, it's mostly focused on the competitive multiplayer, but, you know, they do have a co-op mode in it for you, and they did make it drop in, drop out. You know, that's, it's a basic feature, but, you know, it was something I definitely took note of when I was there. You know, because we would set up a game and we wouldn't have to worry about waiting for the lobby to clear, because, you know, obviously you're working on beta code, so the networking may not always be up to spec. But, you know, I could sit there, play my single player game, and my buddy could work out the kinks on his end and just join. It's so nice. Yeah. And I personally, when I look at a co-op game in Critical Eye, if it doesn't have drop in, drop out, I really, sometimes I don't even want to play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's by far the most requested feature for a co-op game. It's the first question everybody always asks when we post a info on a game or news on a game.
Right.
Like, does it have drop in, drop out? I mean, I understand, it, you know, some games can't, if for whatever reason, if you know, it's just not that kind of experience or whatever. But I don't know. There's very few instances of it where it doesn't work anymore.
Right,
it,
and even
it needs to be.
I was actually really impressed, even though it took us a little bit to figure out how to get it working. But with when we played Red Alert 3,
yeah,
you know, the missions. There's no. I couldn't say there's drop in, drop out, because we never figured out what happened when someone dropped out. We figured out what happened when someone died. Before, you know, the story progresses like normal, but before each mission, you have the option to choose whether you go single player or co-op, and then it tailors the mission accordingly. And for a game like right. that, you probably wouldn't be able to drop into it very effectively, because someone won't have any friggin' clue, you know, what their base makeup is. But it's an elegant way.
Exactly, yeah.
I wouldn't say elegant, but it's the best way to handle something like that, short of going drop in, drop out.
Right, yeah. You know, you're playing it single player or whatever, and your buddy's like, oh, you know, can I join up? And you'd be like, yeah, I'm almost done with this mission. As soon as it's done,
yep.
We'll switch it to co-op. You know, and you, for the person that's playing, it's pretty much a seamless experience, and then the person yeah. joins in, and that's that. So hopefully developers all... half of you that are listening to this podcast right now add the ability to save games in co-op and drop in and drop
absolutely.
Out as a must. You know, don't take any shortcuts.
I'll give you an extra $5 for your game if you give me drop in, drop out.
There we go. Oh, well, that about wraps it up for what we wanted to discuss tonight. The only other thing I wanted to bring up was our first Games for Windows Live night is coming on December 9th, and it is Gears of War. You can check out cooptimist.com for details on that, as well as the mm-hmm. Games for Windows website. And then we just posted tonight, next Xbox Live co-op night is December 11th, so 2 days after that. And that'll be Call of Duty World at War, which we just discussed. So, luckily it won't be split screen because you'll be playing online Xbox Live, but we'll be doing both the campaign and the zombie mode. That'll be cool. It'll be our first time on the dashboard, on the new dashboard as well with everybody.
Yeah, with everybody able to view it, because we got to see it before.
Yeah, so I'm curious how the turnout's going to be for that, and pretty excited about that. I'm going to give a ring to the Activision folks and see if we can maybe work out some promo items
sounds
or
good.
Something for it. We'll see. Very good. So this has been the Co-Opticast for November 30th, 2008. We are the official podcast of Co-Optimist.com, and thanks for listening.
Peace out.